Good morning. Let's open to Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15. You know, we just recited the Lord's Prayer together, so let's just see what he says right after that, huh? Let's just keep the flow going. You know, one of the sanctifying elements of being one of God's children is getting to know God more. Amen? In fact, that's what we're called to do. To grow in His likeness, to become more and more conformed to Him in His image. And so, as the Spirit works in sanctification, as we read His Word, as we hear the Word, as we learn and understand, we understand and learn more about the heart of our God, don't we? We go, oh, that's how my Father is. So that's how I should be. So the Lord's just given the example prayer, or how to pray. And then notice what he goes on to next. Let's read Matthew 6, 14 and 15. He's just said, here's how you should pray. And look what the Lord transitions to. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So Christ is referencing back in the prayer he just gave, particularly to when he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But after saying that prayer, look at the importance of the heart of our God, what he goes right to. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And what I want us to consider today, brothers and sisters, is that forgiving one another, forgiveness is not just a simple thing, doctrine over here that we can study. It's not another sin in a long list to confess, but it is absolutely core to the truth. It's the essence of Christ and why he came. Forgiving is the foundation, and that forgiveness is the foundation of the gospel. It's one of the ultimate tests of faith. Do we have faith? Do we forgive? Do we recognize how we were forgiven? So it's not an exaggeration, it's not hyperbole when Christ says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So understanding and living out forgiveness, what is that like? What does that mean to forgive? Well, it's evidence of our faith, right? It means we've been forgiven. And it really solidifies our trust in the sovereignty of God over the affairs of our life. Let's take a look at forgiveness for a minute. First, I want you to put your mindset in that place, okay? Maybe somebody sinned against you. Maybe somebody's offended you, hurt you. Maybe they stole from you, lied to you. Or children, maybe one of your brother or sisters took a toy from you and then broke it and then hid it somewhere or something like that. Or for the older ones of us here. Maybe you found out somebody spoke badly behind your back about you. These are difficult things, right? These are hard. What do we do? How shall we respond? Well, as the redeemed of God, we have been the recipients of extraordinary mercy and grace. We are debtors who cannot pay our debts to God. Yet God has been gracious enough to grant us forgiveness through Christ. And by His Word, in the text we see today, God makes it clear that if we lack compassion and we harbor vengeance and revenge in our heart, rather than being ready to forgive, then effectively we forfeit the forgiveness that's been given to us. So why shall we forgive? And one sister noted to me this week, wisely said, what does that look like? Practically, how does that lived out? Well, we see here the foundation is of a forgiving spirit. Is experiencing divine grace. Knowing that. Talked about knowing Christ. Knowing His grace. It's by grace we're saved. It's by grace that we live. It's by grace we've been forgiven. We're grace people. A lot of churches out there called Grace Church. And amen. We are about grace. It's our story. It's everything. Amen. Remember the parable in Matthew 18 of the unforgiving servant? The servant who took grace, the grace he received for granted, and he refused to act in that way, remember? And he refused to pass that mercy on to his servant. So, in a simple sense, what that parable is telling us is, why should we forgive? It's because we've been forgiven so much more. Ephesians 4:31 says, forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, we don't just forgive one another because we're overwhelmed by the grace and mercy that we've been given, by the forgiveness bestowed upon us. We don't just forgive because we would be nothing without the forgiveness of Christ. We forgive also because we're commanded to forgive, to in turn give grace as that has been given to us. So we see a bit more here about the heart of our Father, don't we? We see that reconciliation with one another right here in this room is at the very core of our faith. And I want you to flip back one chapter to Matthew 5, because we want to see how this forgiveness looks and the importance of it to our Father. Matthew 5:23, in discussing being angry with one another, Christ says this: therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Oh, do we see the importance of unity and reconciliation here? God doesn't even want our worship if we're mad at each other. He doesn't want it. Go make right with your brother, then come and worship me. Do you recognize that? This is the Almighty God and Creator of the universe who is to be glorified and worshipped and honored. And He says, don't do it until it's right with you guys first. Wow. He puts that way up here on the list, doesn't He, of priorities. Above worshiping Him? Wow. Oh, that's convicting, brothers. We cannot serve and worship God in an unreconciled state with brother and sister. Do you see the heart of God here? Do you see the essence of faith? Well, I just want to leave you here with 4 points to consider regarding forgiveness. Maybe what this looks like a little bit as we consider forgiveness and forgiving one another. Number one, our calling and our motive and our goal in forgiving one another is to glorify God who has forgiven us. May we glorify our Father. He's forgiven us. May we forgive one another. And that brings Him glory. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Number two, remember how much God has forgiven you in Christ. It's overwhelming if you consider all the sins, past, present, and future. And we get pretty bound up over one sin that one brother committed to us. Even if they repent, we're still bound up about it. Ephesians 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He didn't stop there. He raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He may show us the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness through Christ Jesus. Amen. Number three, remember that God is sovereign. It sounds simple, but it's hard for us. Remember God's sovereign, and that all that happens, even others and circumstances, He's the righteous judge of all, isn't He? This is the trust factor for us. Do we trust God to care for us in this situation? Does He know that we were just offended? Yes, He knows. Think about Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He could have become pretty bitter, right? He could have become a pretty bitter young man. But instead, he chose to forgive. And when he revealed himself, his brothers feared that he would use his position of power to get revenge. But Joseph acknowledged God's sovereignty and goodness. And what did he say? Joseph said, do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about this day to save many people. Amen. And number four, have compassion on the other person as a fellow sinner in need of God's grace. We all need God's grace. You're hanging out with a bunch of sinners that are saved by grace. It's going to happen. Your job is not to go through life and keenly figure out how to never be offended or sinned against. No, it's not your job. Your job is to remember who you are and the grace you've been given and walk in that. So number four, have compassion on the other person. Ephesians 4, as we've mentioned already, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, now, family, it's our time of confession. We'll go to prayer and confession here in a moment. But let's consider how we approach one another with a forgiving heart. Christ tells us, again, this is going to happen. Our call is to remember the grace we've been given, to go to our brother in love, and to respond in grace that we've been given. So as we enter this time of confession, may we meditate on our relationships. Am I quick to forgive? Or do I hold on to things? Do I seek revenge? Do I require more than God does? He's forgiven. Do I need more from this person? Do I do that? When I'm wrong, do I trust that God will care for me? When I'm wrong, does my focus on me or on that other person? Or am I able to still set my mind on things above? Am I still able to look unto Him? Or am I captivated by the sin that was put against me? What am I holding on to? Oh, may we rest that our Father knows these things and He's given us grace. As we consider these words today in this meditation, may we consider the grace and forgiveness given to us today. And I ask you today, as we enter our prayer of confession, please join me to kneel if you're able, that we may confess before our Father together. Oh, Father God, we come to You, Father, as broken sinners. And Father, often we do harbor the sins that are against us. Lord, we harbor within our hearts the cosmic sin that is so heavy against our souls. Oh, Father, we confess this to You. And we pray that You take away from us, Father, an unforgiving heart that would not be, Lord. But Father, give us a recognition of the grace that You've given to us, the forgiveness You've given to us through Christ Jesus. The sins of past, the sins of present, the sins of the future, Lord, all have been paid by the blood of our Savior. Oh, and Father, may we set our mind upon You. Like Joseph, who knew that You work, God, in our lives to bring about exactly what You need in our lives, Father, to bestow Your grace, that You would be glorified. Lord, we want to glorify You in all of our responses to our brothers and sisters. We want You to be high and exalted and lifted up. Oh, Father, humble us before You now. You never despise a broken and contrite spirit. And Father, we lay that before You now, and we ask for Your mercy and grace to be imparted. Father God, help us in this time to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. We recognize the heart of You, our Father, of where You place this, even sometimes, Father, more where we must leave our gift at the altar, to reconcile with our brother and sister. May it be something that we treasure to do and to give grace as it's been given to us. And Father, for those, when we do sin against our brother, Father, may You give us the spirit of repentance. May we receive the rebuke. May we receive the feedback and the admonition, God, and be humbled to turn and bring that peace by repentance and confession. And Lord, now we take a time individually to confess our sins to You.